This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and our topic today is Mosby's design-build process. You know, what does it consist of? When and why would it benefit you? We can also cover, like, the differences between design-build process, hiring an architect, finding a general contractor, and of course, design build companies versus Mosby's design build process. Yes, there can be some pretty major differences from one design build company to a next. So I invite you to stay tuned and find out what all that could be. I'll also have my On the Road with Rich and my hack every week. You don't want to miss out on those. And joining the conversation today is my producer, Todd Bachman. He's going to kind of help us out, ask some questions, and get through what this process is. So, hey, Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely love, you know, we get into some really good conversations and everything, and I do like the different questions, and, you know, because it's a lot of kind of what I hear from clients every day when they start asking things like, what about this? What about that? So I think it's great to get that out in front of people, you know?
No doubt about it. I mean, we talk about this all the time, every day, these types of things. So it's hard for us sometimes to realize that, you know, people out there may have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We need to educate them on things that we know and talk about every single day. So it's good to take that step back and just reframe our mindset towards the client or the potential homeowner that wants to do work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I did want to kind of start out first, though, with kind of our announcement we've been doing every week. And we've been talking about, you know, how I'm going to take over the KMOX Home Improvement Show from Scott Mosby. But I got to tell you, so it was really weird because I was filling in for Scott last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting out the show and everything, and I always, you know, each segment try and say right away so everybody knows, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, Rich Orris here filling in for Scott Mosby. And then I kind of stopped and went, wow, you know what? This is going to be the last time I say that.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be like every now and then you'll hear Scott Mosby filling in for Rich Orris. And it was kind of like an epiphany hit that's like, oh, wow, this change is actually happening.
Right,
you
it's
know?
Real.
It's very real, and it's starting to feel that way, getting closer and closer. But it will be a really great, awesome thing for us, for me, for Scott in his mm-hmm. retirement, and then also for the 97.1 listeners, too, because while I'm on KMOX, they're going to, you know, simulcast that second hour right here on 97.1. So the good news is for everybody here is you'll get to call in, You hear the phone numbers, you can call in and ask some questions. We can get back to that conversation question answer format with the 97.1 listeners also. So I think that'll be a really, really cool benefit. So we're starting all of that at the beginning of the year, 1st of January and next year, and it'll be a good time.
Yeah, and it's well-deserved, Rich. You're going to do phenomenal, and I can't wait to hear you every Saturday do that. You know, Scott was such a wealth of knowledge, and he's passing it on to you. You're a wealth of knowledge. You're in the trenches every single day with this, so you have so much experience, and it's going to be a real treat for the KMOX listeners and the 97.1 listeners to be able to call in and, you know, pick your brain on things. So,
yeah,
very well-deserved. Scott, you know, he's done this for so long. He deserves a little bit of a break. He's such a steward of the remodeling industry and, you know, so important to just St. Louis in general for homeowners and people that wanted to know things about their home. And he deserves kind of to sit back and let somebody else take the reins for a bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. So it'll be fun. I'll love it. And we'll be able to get out there on two channels and get some questions and answers in. So
absolutely, yeah.
It'll be awesome. So for today, design build, what I wanted to do is kind of just work through the process, kind of, you know, what should people know, things like that, start to finish, just go through each step and help maybe guide people and get them some good understanding. So what's kind of first thing we should think about, or what's the first question on the list about it?
Well, let's start with something super easy in general. What is design build? What's that definition to you?
Yeah, you know, that is super interesting, because when you look up like the actual definition, you know, of course, there's a few different that tries to kind of explain that. And they basically talk about, you know, really like, first off, a thorough inspection of existing, you know, surface and structure. They talk about designs that match your needs and style, drawings and plans that meet codes in your town, and then kind of understanding structural engineering needs, things like that. There's all these different things in there. So it's really kind of all of that kind of rolled up into one. And really, I think the only thing that the definition by like Webster and online and all that doesn't clearly explain is just basically how all of that getting done gets us correct more often and sets super clear expectations for what is going to happen, what you're going to get, all of that. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of, you know, really what we're doing is understanding everything, getting through everything, taking enough time during that design to find out as much as we possibly can, and really then having a full understanding. And, you know, I just was basically explaining that to someone a few days ago that, you know, her question was kind of, well, all these other people are going away and they're coming back with a bid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, exactly. I'm like, but how accurate is this bid? You know, and this wasn't like, you know, a bathroom or just a kitchen pull and replace them. I mean, we were literally talking about taking off part of the second floor, making the second floor bigger, and doing an addition on the back of the house that makes the kitchen bigger and makes a master suite area with a master bathroom. And I'm like, the things you could miss trying to bid something like that. Yeah. And I said, and that's where you get into the issues of, you think it's, you know, 400,000 and they get you there. And then you're like, okay. And then you go through more process. And every time you do the process, it gets more until at the end when they're really in front of you going, okay, we got drawings from the architect. We know this, we know that. We've done all this. Yeah, it's 750,000, you know, and then you're like, well, I was cool with the four,
right?
But it's almost double, you know, and it's, And that's what we're trying to avoid doing, is like coming at it with this quick, inaccurate number that, you know, so more do a ballpark based off of different projects that we've completed and done and estimated, but take the time to really figure out what 100% of everything is for the project so you can eventually get to that accurate number.
Yeah. So what would you say for a homeowner who's going to be doing a remodeling project? They're taking a look at the possibilities for contractors and companies, specifically when it comes to, you know, what is the difference between going with a design build company versus potentially just getting an architect and then finding a contractor to build off those plans?
Yeah, so I think one thing to understand is in our industry in general, in remodeling and construction industry, we try and have a lot of data, we try and figure a lot of things out, but then when they really examine what happens once you're working and you're doing things, what they've, you know, find out, what a lot of the studies say is like 95% of all data captured goes unused in the industry once we're building something. It's just not even used. Construction teams spend 13% of their working hours looking for project data and information, trying to find out what they need, trying to get answers, you know, that sort of thing. And then 30% of the companies out there that do use some sort of applications and stuff to try and, you know, get this data to the people that need it, they have all these different applications that don't integrate with one another. So it just doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
So really the biggest difference there is when you go through design build and you have all these different people that are employees of one company and they can get to each other and they have one, you know, seamless kind of computer program that works all the way through the line from the first meeting to the job's done and built. We can control that data. We can understand it. We can have everything. We can set those expectations. So when you think about having an architect, you know, you've got this person, no real team, drawing plans. They're kind of saying, well, it should only cost this much to build something. And that's usually not super accurate. Kind of like doing that bid and it's still not super accurate. And then you kind of, you know, I see a lot of like a lack of what the customer wants. And I see a lot of, you know, house plans going to waste. I'd probably say like, let's get into my on the road with Rich here, because when we look at like architectural plans and doing things, I go see a lot of clients that have plans sometimes. And they're like, all right, I did this. I have all these plans and I'm trying to find somebody really good to do it. And I'm not, and the thing I hear the most is I'm not 100% super accurate, happy with the plans. And I've been like, I had one that we set the plans out. We looked at everything. It was an entire home renovation. And we looked at the front elevation, how cool the house was going to look and all of this. And then we walked through the house. They were kind of telling me what they were wanting to get out of this. And they're like, well, we want a window on the front of our house that looks out from our bedroom onto this front yard, because they're out in like Wildwood. They've got about 300 yards of a front yard and a gravel driveway, and there's deer and all this stuff going on in their front yard. And so then later I'm looking at the plans again and I'm like, there's no window from the bedroom. You can't see the front of your house. I mean, it looks gorgeous, but you, and the wife was like, exactly. That's my problem.
Yeah.
You know, and for a whole home renovation, they spent a lot of money to get these plans and really just didn't even meet their need, you know, whatsoever. So connectivity, you know, the major differences is like connectivity, getting information passed along, understanding, setting the expectations, be able to perform those expectations and doing it on time and all these things with having your own in-house people and everything. So, I mean, I could go through the list of these plans. I've seen so many with not good HVAC, with not good roof structures that don't put the water where it needs to be, and the brand new house is leaking because they didn't design the roof very well. I've seen them design like chimney caps that just about can't be done, you know, because you'd have to like rework the whole inside of the chimney to move things and make it happen. So they're not looking at existing conditions quite as well, you know, things like that. And you know, a difference with us is we have an on-staff architect at the company that's an employee of the company. And, you know, from what I've seen and gathered, less than like 5% of design build companies out there have a licensed architect on staff to do this stuff. They still farm all that stuff out.
Yeah. Which is funny because we know that not all design build processes and companies are equal. So what is that difference between the Mosby design build process and another company?
Yeah. And I say, after the break, we get into the hack and everything. Let's get into that topic exactly. It's like when you get into design build, how do those seem to tend to differ? Because there can be a really big difference. I did want to remind everybody before the break, you know, we do have our promo here in December. So we've got, you know, the 5% going on any job that we do. It ends December 31st. You can either get the no payments, no interest, 12 months, or 5% off of your project. So get with us, get that figured out before December 31st, and we can get you helped out with that. And we'll be right back with my hack after this.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, everybody, we are back. You heard the man. Time for Rich's Right at Home Hack. And got a real super simple, easy one for you today. Basically, you know, you drop a glass on the floor. It breaks. You need to clean this mess up. You're trying to do it, you know, without injury. It's definitely advised to, you know, pick up the larger pieces of the glass with some tongs or something like that. But most people, then when you get into the small pieces, you know, they're using like a moist, wet kind of paper towel or whatever to try and pick up all these little small shards of that glass and everything off the floor. So the safest way we found to do this is actually to use a large raw potato. You basically cut that thing in half lengthwise, and the kind of moist, fleshy surface, you know, will just dap that on the floor. It will pick up all those small pieces of glass. It's good and thick, so your fingers are not near it. So it's better without injury. It'll just pick everything up like that, throw the potato away, wipe up the floor. Nothing to it but to do it, and it's super safe and don't get little fine cuts or those little pieces of, you know, shard glass in your finger that are so hard to get out. So hopefully that was easy and effective enough for you. Remember, you can find all my hacks every week on my social media. Just search Rich Orris Mosby, Facebook or LinkedIn. Take you right to it. And so for today, now we are talking design build process difference, how it differs from basically architect, general contractor. You've got all these levels of these companies. And now what we really wanted to get into is, you know, the primary difference of, you know, design build to design build.
Yeah. What's the difference between Mosby Building Arts' design build process and other companies' design build processes? Because there is a difference for sure.
Yeah, no, there absolutely is. And, you know, I'm definitely describing that to people pretty much on a daily basis after being here for, you know, 22 years, understanding it from the construction, the project management, all the way through this, you know, but it, and really kind of where everything starts, you know, to kind of make those differences. When you think about companies out there, there's kind of three different, you know, company thoughts and how, you know, what, how people run their companies, basically, in order to how good are they going to be. And when you think about that, you've got basically the first type of company that kind of just, you know, does what they do, and they kind of watch everything happen, and they just kind of go with it, and they go, yep, we're just building stuff, we're just doing this, and they let all this stuff kind of happen around them. And then the second company is the ones that, like, kind of get themselves into trouble doing that, and they're the companies that they then ask what happened. They're like, okay, what just happened? How did we get into this situation? Why didn't this go well? How do we, you know, this is not what I expected. And I can give you a perfect example of that, that, you know, I was at an awards ceremony, and I was sitting next to a couple of guys that ran a custom home building company. And they basically were talking about the sizes of the projects and different stuff, and how they're kind of going back to a more of a track building type building situation, because what they found is when they got into the really big custom homes, and I'm talking like the $1.5-2 million homes, guess what? They make no money building that.
Yeah.
They're like, if that's all we did, we would go under.
Right.
That's a what just happened approach, you know, to a company. And so the third approach, and how Scott Mosby basically has taken this company, is there's the people out there that run the companies that make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
They go, all right, I'm going to figure out what needs to happen, and I'm going to make it happen. So I'm going to figure out what's wrong, and I'm going to change what we do. So for, you know, for Mosby, we want to be good advisors. We want to change the entire industry for the better, you know, level the playing field. If everybody was doing the same things, it would be, you know, a lot different for you know, everything, and how you figure it out and all that. There wouldn't be these giant differences, you know, in how projects are done and get built, and the quality, and do they leak or not, and are they, you know, nice or not, and then again, you know, what type of warranty, all that stuff. So, but really for Mosby, what we figured out in doing that is having our own people to do as much as we can is really the difference in how we produce and can control and manufacture that job together. And, you know, so we're not looking at a leak going, oh, well, yeah, that company we hired, the one that had the lowest price for the siding, they should have probably flashed this better.
Yeah.
Let's get with them. Or let's get, you know, that's not the approach. The approach is more, let's get it well right the first time. Let's know what's happening and get through it. So, you know, the biggest thing is really once you get through the designing process, of course, we have more employees again in the designing phase, the licensed architect, like I was just talking about, the designers, the drafters. We've got the permit team that's not only just applying and all that, but they're helping us up front with designs, going, you know, what does this municipality need? And we're finding that stuff out earlier, so we're giving good, clear, you know, crisp designs that are going to work. But then getting into the field, having our own licensed plumbing, our own licensed electrical, having our own painters, having, you know, typically everyone else in design build that I've, you know, heard about and run into, basically they become a general contractor once the work starts. They kind of go, okay, I've got a project manager that's going to oversee, you know, your project, and then I've got carpentry crews that will do the carpentry work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, carpentry work is about 10% of a project.
Yeah.
You know, it's especially on like a room addition or something. I just heard from someone the other day where they said, well, this company said they have, you know, X amount of carpentry crews. They have like five or six carpentry crews so we can get things done better. And I'm like, but that's one step of the process.
Yeah.
You know, once that you know, to start the addition, you got to excavate it. You got to do the foundation. You got to do it. You know, so then once the carpentry part, the rough carpentry is done, you know, I worked for companies like that. We would leave for months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd come back later to do the trim and go, oh, wow, man, I forgot this job even existed. Like, yeah. Wow, it's been a while. Because, you know, then you think about it, you got to wrap the house, you got to put the windows in, you got to flash, you got to site it, you got to roof it, shingles, you know, the chimney cap, the stuff you got to get. And then you get on the inside and you got to insulate and drywall and tape and mud and paint and, you know, all this stuff, the flooring, the different stuff. And then if there's bathrooms or kitchens, you got all this, you know, plumbers and all this. And so for Mosby, I'm like, well, I don't know how many like carpentry crews we have, but we have over 130 people in this company that do anything from the designing stuff all the way through digging a ditch, putting in a light bulb, you know, so, yeah. So we're kind of the inverse of that, where instead of like, you know, 10 or 20% gets built by their employees, we're more like 80 or 90% gets built by our employees. Less subcontracting, more control, just an easier way to get through the project, know it, understand it, and it just creates such a better atmosphere for all the clients out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's kind of set some expectations for our process, kind of from start to finish. What can clients expect when they first call into Mosby Building Arts?
Yeah, so you know, when you call in, you're going to get in touch with our client services team, and one of them will talk to you about your project. I basically call them the directors of first impressions.
Yeah.
So they will, you know, they will talk to you for a while. Expect, you know, about 15 minutes, depending on what you're after and stuff. But they want to gather as much information as they can. They'll have some questions. They want to pass down good notes, good information. And they also need to, like, for our end, clarify the job type. You know, find out how you heard about Mosby. They want to determine the best consultant for your needs, and really determine how we can get through that process, and then set the appointment, date, time, all of that, to send that consultant out to meet, go over everything with you. And then they will send you the information on the consultant, which is a pretty good, you know, cool thing too, is like, this is the person coming to your house. This is what they look like. This is some of their background. This, you know, and man, people really appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, being with Mosby for 9 years, I did the client services stuff. I still help with the team as well, yeah. Fill in for some of those things. So I've talked to thousands and thousands of homeowners throughout the years, and I still do a little bit of that today. So I know exactly what you're talking about. We're really trying to gather as much information as possible, so that way the consultant, whoever we send out, is best prepared to talk to you, to have that discussion, instead of the consultant just showing up and being like, what are we talking about again? Oh, you want a bathroom? Oh, okay. And just kind of getting the information brand new to them when they show up to your door, instead of being fully prepared, which is, we want you guys to be fully prepared so that way you have the most fruitful conversation as possible.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'll never forget the appointment I went on that, and this is a good reason to gather that great information. So someone called in, said they had, you know, some issue with their soffit.
Okay.
Oh. And they sent an exteriors newer consultant that just came up from the field and stuff and didn't really do inside stuff yet. It wasn't trained yet. And they were talking about a drywalled soffit in the kitchen.
Yeah.
With an issue. And so then I end up back out there looking at it going, yeah, so some questions would have been good. Like, because yeah, there's two different types of soffit on a house. So,
right.
You know, it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're about to get into our next break, but I wanted to start with this question, maybe launching into the next segment. What's the first thing you guys do once you have that information on the appointment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because would like to make a call and see if we can just clarify things, make sure there wasn't any typos, and kind of go through this initial call, find out more information if we can, because we have a better understanding of the soffits and things like that. So we will try and contact, and a lot of them just end up being a confirmation thing. That's okay, but we'll get what we can out of it. So we're going to jump into our break, and we'll be right back with more after this.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horris.
All right, guys, we are back, and we're getting through this design-build process. You know, what do we go through? I think it's great to prepare people for, you know, to have an understanding of, you know, what's going to happen at all these different meetings and all these different steps and how we design. So we got one segment left here. Let's get through a bunch of these different steps. What's next on the list?
Yeah, what happens while you're on that first visit to a client's house?
Yeah, so that definitely is another, you know, kind of like that phone call, an information gathering, just trying to really set the stage for which direction we go, getting good steps set and how to handle everything. So we kind of start out with just a tour of the home, what you're thinking about doing, walk around. We will like to take some pictures to pass down informations, things like that. And then once we understand like the bones of the house, and I've seen electrical and plumbing and stuff, and understand the project, we can sit down and really kind of explain, you know, do you need the design build process? Do you not? Is there another route to go through? And there's, because we've got multiple ways to work through stuff and really kind of get that path, understand how Mosby can help you, how we work, set the stage for all of that. And then, of course, we always like to go over what we call a budgeting exercise. You know, what would a design cost to figure things out? And also, you know, what typically do jobs like this cost? You're in a kitchen. I just go back to like different kitchens that were similar sized and, you know, think about they cost between here and here, just to set a good stage to make sure we're all on the right page and going down the same street.
Excellent. So let's say I want to do a design with Mosby. What's the next step in that process?
Well, this is where the people that get involved, I call them the promise makers. So yeah, they're going to figure out, you know, we're going to talk some more with the designer and we're going to get more information. They're going to get to ask more questions about, you know, what you're after, what are wants, what are needs, what are the good to haves and things like that. So basically, you know, we'll do what we call a measure photo meeting where we gather all the information. They'll take a lot more photos and everything. Team shows up, goes through all that, gathers the information. The designer will talk to you about the project some more. Then we'll kind of go back and have a post measure photo meeting with us going over, right, next steps. What did we find? What are we after? Do we need to get permitting involved to find out things like that or not? And then once they go through that, then we can run those new designs through our estimating department, and that team can work through those projects and figure out to a better range, what do these projects cost to actually go through, build all of that. Then we can kind of meet, go over the results. It is a working meeting. We'll kind of, you join our team, we'll go over what we found. There's usually one, two, maybe three different directions or results from any design. So we can kind of set the stage, get some direction, and you know, have you help us figure out what's the best project for you. And the really good thing, you know, that happens through this is there's a lot of expectations set, a lot of accountability, reliability, and a bunch of consistency that just kind of, you know, makes it really nice and understood what's happening and where it's going. And the reason, you know, you still see a little bit of a price range is we haven't done selections yet. So we've still got some things to figure out exactly, but they can narrow that price range to about 10%.
That's great. So after those steps of the design process are completed, how do we deliver the next set of expectations to the client for the project?
Yeah, so we'll have a whole nother, you know, kind of step that we go through so that we can finish everything absolutely. So we'll, you know, kind of start refining that design to the one that we kind of came together on. We'll have, you know, walkthrough on site where we will bring, you know, any pertinent trades that we need, including like our trades. So like a lot of times I'm telling people, I'm going to need my plumber and my electrician out here, but this is my plumber and my electrician. So we're still letting them come out just as if they were like an electrical contractor, see the house, understand what the guys need to do. So they're in charge of that portion of the project. So they can go back with the estimators and look over everything and go, yep, we're good here. Give me a couple hours there. This is going to be difficult. And we can really get that refined and to work very well for the trades. But then also during that, we're shopping. So the designer's shopping with you. They're picking everything out. They're showing you samples. They're literally going to the appliance store with you, the plumbing store with you. You know, it's hard to see everything that you can get in one showroom. You know, so if you're in like a kitchen showroom and they've got 5 faucets, 10 faucets, maybe if they have 15 different faucets, will you go to a plumbing warehouse? There's lots of faucets. There's a lot of different choices, and it's good to see them and go through them and have the help of that designer to select them. So that's why we like to go out, meet with the appliance expert, meet with the plumbing expert, help you out, pick out really good things, and don't limit you, you know, to what is in a room, you know, to because you can just really find some cool things when you go through that. So then in the end, what we're looking at is, you know, really having a good understanding that the project manager for the project's been through it. All our trades have been through it. We understand everything so that we can really deliver a great drawing, a really detailed scope of work, the agreement that has dates on it of like, you know, we can start within so many working weeks. We plan to finish within so many working weeks. We monitor, you know, how often we get that right. And we're like 90% above, you know, getting those jobs done on time, which is really what a lot of people are after, is, you know, basically understand it, make the promises, keep the promises. You'll also see all of those selections. So there will be a selection sheet that shows you, here's what everything is. It'll have model numbers. It'll have all that on there. That's kind of hard to see sometimes. So a lot of times we'll have photos with it. Not only is this the Moen blah, blah, blah model number, what's SN mean? You know, that sort of thing. There's a picture of it. Yep, it's the stainless steel one. It has the arch like we like. Yep, that's the one we picked. Everybody initials it. You literally know exactly what you're getting.
Excellent. So now that they have those expectations for the project, you know, they've signed the construction agreement. Does anything happen before Mosby breaks ground?
Yeah, so there is like a whole nother phase there that I try and explain to people a lot of, you know, kind of like the pre-construction step of the process where, you know, we do things to kind of reassure, to help people out and kind of reassure that we're still going to get it right. So like when you sign the agreements on a kitchen remodel on a Tuesday, we don't go in on Wednesday and push a button to order those cabinets. The project manager is going to approve that order. So they're going to sit down, internal meeting, doesn't involve the client and everybody, but they're going to go through every piece of trim, every cabinet, all the stuff. They reassure the sizes, how it get put together. And then the field, it's awesome because then they got the, you know, the knowledge of going, well, if this wall is a little crooked, order me an extra filler for that side. And I might need to cut one at a little bit of an angle or something. So they can, you know, put their pieces in there, and it just kind of reassures, you know, hopefully we don't have delays because we've done everything we can to get that right. Another really cool thing is everything gets delivered to our warehouse. So we're not just bombarding you at different dates with different materials and stuff. We bring it when we need it ourselves. Real super convenient. But then we'll have a walkthrough on site before we start. We'll talk about meeting the project lead, trash, the bathroom, pets, access, protections. What are we going to be doing? Where are we going to be? Again, it's just really understanding the expectations. When we walk in the house, you know what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. And so we're running a little bit short on time here, but I wanted to ask, what should the clients expect during the construction of their project?
Yeah. So really, you know, this is where the promise keepers now show up, and they go through and really, you know, do the work and really help out. They do a lot of protections, floor protections, dust protections, filters over the HVAC, you know, return airs and stuff. A lot of things happen while they're out there to reassure that, you know, we're trying to help out because people are living in these houses.
Yeah.
So it is really a good, you know, process to go through and all the different things that we do in order to set those expectations and have an understanding and protect you, your children, the people in the house from all that, you know, madness going on during the whole job. So there's a lot that happens.
Excellent. So before this process even begins, the entire process, is there anything the clients should be thinking about prior to all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're first getting started, you really want to think about your research, you know, understand the agenda, understand the timeline. How much time are they going to spend at my house when they first come out? You know, really ask people about their goals. And then I would say definitely do your research. Check on people as well as companies. Who owns the company? Look into that person. You can find a lot out that way. It's easy to start a company, change a name, have something that looks pretty decent, and, you know, have a person that's not the best person behind the wheel, really controlling and doing everything. So, you know, protect yourself, get it in writing, and have the understanding, and all of that is the biggest advice I can really get to everybody out there. So I think this has been awesome. We're totally out of time. Thanks for your help. I'll talk to everybody else next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horris.
All right, guys, we are back and we're getting through this design build process. You know, what do we go through? I think it's great to prepare people for, you know, to have an understanding of, you know, what's going to happen at all these different meetings and all these different steps and how we design. So we got one segment left here. Let's get through a bunch of these different steps. What's next on the list?
Yeah, what happens while you're on that first visit to a client's house?
Yeah, so that definitely is another, you know, kind of like that phone call, an information gathering, just trying to really set the stage for which direction we go, getting good steps set and how to handle everything. So we kind of start out with just a tour of the home, what you're thinking about doing, walk around. We will like to take some pictures to pass down informations, things like that. And then once we understand like the bones of the house and I've seen electrical and plumbing and stuff and understand the project, we can sit down and really kind of explain, you know, do you need the design build process? Do you not? Is there another route to go through? And there's, because we've got multiple ways to work through stuff and really kind of get that path, understand how Mosby can help you, how we work, set the stage for all of that. And then, of course, we always like to go over what we call a budgeting exercise. You know, what would a design cost to figure things out? And also, you know, what typically do jobs like this cost? You're in a kitchen. I just go back to like different kitchens that were similar sized and, you know, think about they cost between here and here just to set a good stage to make sure we're all on the right page and going down the same street.
Excellent. So let's say I want to do a design with Mosby. What's the next step in that process?
Well, this is where the people that get involved, I call them the promise makers. So yeah, they're going to figure out, you know, we're going to talk some more with the designer and we're going to get more information. They're going to get to ask more questions about, you know, what you're after, what are wants, what are needs, what are the good to haves and things like that. So basically, you know, we'll do what we call a measure photo meeting where we gather all the information. They'll take a lot more photos and everything. Team shows up, goes through all that, gathers the information. The designer will talk to you about the project some more. Then we'll kind of go back and have a post measure photo meeting with us going over, right, next steps. What did we find? What are we after? Do we need to get permitting involved to find out things like that or not? And then once they go through that, then we can run those new designs through our estimating department, and that team can work through those projects and figure out to a better range, what do these projects cost to actually go through, build all of that. Then we can kind of meet, go over the results. It is a working meeting. We'll kind of, you join our team. We'll go over what we found. There's usually one, two, maybe three different directions or results from any design. So we can kind of set the stage, get some direction, and you know, have you help us figure out what's the best project for you. And the really good thing, you know, that happens through this is there's a lot of expectations set, a lot of accountability, reliability, and a bunch of consistency that just kind of, you know, makes it really nice and understood what's happening and where it's going. And the reason, you know, you still see a little bit of a price range is we haven't done selections yet. So we've still got some things to figure out exactly, but they can narrow that price range to about 10%.
That's great. So after those steps of the design process are completed, how do we deliver the next set of expectations to the client for the project?
Yeah, so we'll have a whole nother, you know, kind of step that we go through so that we can finish everything absolutely. So we'll, you know, kind of start refining that design to the one that we kind of came together on. We'll have, you know, walkthrough on site where we will bring, you know, any pertinent trades that we need, including like our trades. So like a lot of times I'm telling people, I'm going to need my plumber and my electrician out here, but this is my plumber and my electrician. So we're still letting them come out just as if they were like an electrical contractor, see the house, understand what the guys need to do. So they're in charge of that portion of the project so they can go back with the estimators and look over everything and go, yep, we're good here. Give me a couple hours there. This is going to be difficult. And we can really get that refined and to work very well for the trades. But then also during that, we're shopping. So the designer's shopping with you. They're picking everything out. They're showing you samples. They're literally going to the appliance store with you, the plumbing store with you. You know, it's hard to see everything that you can get in one showroom. You know, so if you're in like a kitchen showroom and they've got 5 faucets, 10 faucets, maybe if they have 15 different faucets, well, you go to a plumbing warehouse, there's lots of faucets. There's a lot of different choices, and it's good to see them and go through them and have the help of that designer to select them. So that's why we like to go out, meet with the appliance expert, meet with the plumbing expert, help you out, pick out really good things, and don't limit you, you know, to what is in a room. You know, to because you can just really find some cool things when you go through that. So then in the end, what we're looking at is, you know, really having a good understanding that the project manager for the project's been through it. All our trades have been through it. We understand everything so that we can really deliver a great drawing, a really detailed scope of work, the agreement that has dates on it of like, you know, we can start within so many working weeks. We plan to finish within so many working weeks. We monitor, you know, how often we get that right. And we're like 90% above, you know, getting those jobs done on time, which is really what a lot of people are after is, you know, basically understand it, make the promises, keep the promises. You'll also see all of those selections. So there will be a selection sheet that shows you, here's what everything is. It'll have model numbers. It'll have all that on there. That's kind of hard to see sometimes. So a lot of times we'll have photos with it. Not only is this the Moen blah, blah, blah model number, what's SN mean, you know, that sort of thing. There's a picture of it. Yep, it's the stainless steel one. It has the arch like we like. Yep, that's the one we picked. Everybody initials it. You literally know exactly what you're getting.
Excellent. So now that they have those expectations for the project, you know, they've signed the construction agreement. Does anything happen before Mosby breaks ground?
Yeah, so there is like a whole nother phase there that I try and explain to people a lot of, you know, kind of like the pre-construction step of the process where, you know, we do things to kind of reassure, to help people out and kind of reassure that we're still going to get it right. So like when you sign the agreements on a kitchen remodel on a Tuesday, we don't go in on Wednesday and push a button to order those cabinets. The project manager is going to approve that order. So they're going to sit down, internal meeting, doesn't involve the client and everybody, but they're going to go through every piece of trim, every cabinet, all the stuff. They reassure the sizes, how it get put together. And then the field, it's awesome because then they got the, you know, the knowledge of going, well, if this wall is a little crooked, order me an extra filler for that side. And I might need to cut one at a little bit of an angle or something. So they can, you know, put their pieces in there. And it just kind of reassures, you know, hopefully we don't have delays because we've done everything we can to get that right. Another really cool thing is everything gets delivered to our warehouse. So we're not just bombarding you at different dates with different materials and stuff. We bring it when we need it ourselves. Real super convenient. But then we'll have a walkthrough on site before we start. We'll talk about meeting the project lead, trash, the bathroom, pets, access, protections. What are we going to be doing? Where are we going to be? Again, it's just really understanding the expectations. When we walk in the house, you know what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. And so we're running a little bit short on time here, but I wanted to ask, what should the clients expect during the construction of their project?
Yeah. So really, you know, this is where the promise keepers now show up and they go through and really, you know, do the work and really help out. They do a lot of protections, floor protections, dust protections, filters over the HVAC, you know, return airs and stuff. A lot of things happen while they're out there to reassure that, you know, we're trying to help out because people are living in these houses.
Yeah.
So it is really a good, you know, process to go through and all the different things that we do in order to set those expectations and have an understanding and protect you, your children, the people in the house from all that, you know, madness going on during the whole job. So there's a lot that happens.
Excellent. So before this process even begins, the entire process, is there anything the clients should be thinking about prior to all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're first getting started, you really want to think about your research, you know, understand the agenda, understand the timeline. How much time are they going to spend at my house when they first come out? You know, really ask people about their goals. And then I would say definitely do your research. Check on people as well as companies. Who owns the company? Look into that person. You can find a lot out that way. It's easy to start a company, change a name, have something that looks pretty decent, and, you know, have a person that's not the best person behind the wheel, really controlling and doing everything. So, you know, protect yourself, get it in writing, and have the understanding, and all of that is the biggest advice I can really get to everybody out there. So I think this has been awesome. We're totally out of time. Thanks for your help. I'll talk to everybody else next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.